The following program is made possible in part by the ministry partners of the Hour of Power and viewers like you.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning.
Welcome, visitors and church family. Thank you so much for being here today. You know, if you have made Jesus your Lord, then the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you right now. That is not a theory. It's a fact. You are loved.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your friendship to us, and thank you for your life and wisdom. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for everyone today that is looking for chains to be broken, for healing. We thank you that you can do all those things. Pray today that you'd give us everything we need to become who we need to be, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I.
Shanti, pyar karu, logo ke beech pyar. Shanti prilog.
Isang makulay na kapayapaan, pag-ibig ang bunga ng kapayapaan. Dahil ang pag-ibig ay kapayapaan.
A dark cloud hovers over the earth, but it dissipates with the rising sun, a sign of peace, a colorful peace.
Peace, a model of love, love among people, people of peace.
A colorful peace, love, the sun of peace, for peace. For love is peace.
Thank you.
preparation for the message, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Amen.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Ooh, the unmovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the
she's too-
Thank you for being a part of our Hour of Power family. We're so glad you're worshiping with us today. For over 5 decades, you have enabled us to reach millions of people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Eagle Partnership has been our backbone through it all.
Isaiah 40:31 says, "For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This verse reminds us that God empowers us to lead impactful lives regardless of our circumstances. He constantly lifts us up, sustains us, and faithfully provides for us.
As we enter our 53rd year of ministry, we're committed to expanding around the globe as we embrace new technology, increase our online outreach, and establish operations in hard-to-reach parts of the world. Because our Eagle partners are so precious to us, our team has partnered with skilled artisans to create another Hour of Power exclusive design.
Prayerfully consider becoming an Eagle partner with your monthly gift of $50 or a one-time gift of $600, and we'll send you our brand new 2023 porcelain eagle statue. Created just for Hour of Power, this beautiful hand-painted collectible features a majestic eagle with its wings spread, ready to launch. This eagle keepsake was created to remind you that while you take flight into the world, you always have a home in Jesus. As a Golden Eagle partner with your gift of $100 a month or a one-time gift of $1,200, we'll send you our brand new 2023 porcelain eagle statue, a wooden base for display, and an eagle throw blanket. Generously sized, this beautiful throw is adorned with the inspirational verse from Isaiah 40:31. Made in the USA, this blanket will keep you warm as you reflect on the Word of God. Call, write, or go online to become an Eagle partner today.
Our faithful Eagle partners have been a constant source of strength for this ministry. When you choose to uphold us with your partnership, it empowers us to build a solid foundation from which big dreams are realized and great heights are achieved for the gospel.
If you've been an Eagle partner in the past, join us again so we can keep Hour of Power alive and thriving in 2023 and beyond. If you've never been an Eagle partner, I encourage you, partner with us today. With your support, we can continue to share Christ's love and hope to millions around the world. Thank you, and remember as always, God loves you, and so do we.
Ali Patterson is a writer, speaker, and pastor who, after many years of working in corporate America, earned a degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. She now serves as a teaching pastor at Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Her first book, How to Stay Standing, Three Essential Practices for Building a Faith That Lasts, looks at how we can hold on to our faith when life hits us hardest. Please welcome Ali Patterson.
Ali, hi, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
I always appreciate it when pastors can join us on Sunday morning. You got a lot going on, I'm sure, so we're grateful to have this time with you. For those who have not met you before, let's begin a little bit with your story and your faith journey.
Sure, absolutely. Great to be with everyone today. I actually first came into truly a relationship with Christ in the way that I understood it at the time when I was 16 years old. And when I look back on that, I thank the Lord for that sort of early anchoring. And that was very authentic connection with Jesus at that time in my life. But like a lot of us, college caused me to wander off a little bit. And I truly began to build my life and my world and my future on things that were not God and were certainly not his ways. I think I did what a lot of us are told to do. You know, I was a good kid. I got good grades. I planned a good life. I found a good guy. And I started to build my life in the way that the world really says should work. And it should have worked. And it didn't.
Yeah.
And so as I really came into my 20s, what I realized is God was pushing back into my life again. And I recognized it. I felt his presence. And I didn't know how to come back to him, but I knew there were some cracks in the way that I had been building my life.
It's interesting today where I'm actually talking about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of the cross. It's hard to explain sometimes, but I feel like you're defining it perfectly because there is wisdom in the world. There is stuff out there that's useful for us, but the wisdom of the cross is, it needs to be at the heart of it all, kind of a thing. Well, was there a turning point for you? Because it's not every day you hear somebody going from the corporate world to becoming a pastor. Was there a time when it all sort of just turned for you? Like, how did that process happen for you?
Yes, absolutely. So I was doing it, right? I was doing life the way that I thought it was supposed to work. And I was newly married, traveling the world, earning probably far too much money for a person my age to really have wisdom to know how to deal with. And I really got myself entangled in relationships inside of my job that were really unhealthy for me, that were just leading me the wrong direction, further and further away from God. And I ended up getting involved in an affair with a man that I worked with. And this is the means by which God just came storming back into my life, because I knew that this was not what he wanted for me. And you can feel that when you are living in that kind of darkness. You can feel that, especially when you're already his. Even if you don't know, even if you don't know how to live it, when God puts his hand on you, you can feel the difference between that light and darkness, that worldly way versus his life for you. And I knew I was far away from what he wanted. And the turning point for me came one day. I'm a runner. I love to run. And came for me one day when I was out on a run, and I started to cry, and I just fell down on my knees, and I spoke out loud to him, and I said, Jesus, I can't get out of this. I don't know how, but I think you can, so I want you to get me out. And that began a very painful way out, but I began to truly follow him again during that super dark time in my life.
Yeah. Wow, that's a powerful story. That must have been really tough to sort of bring that to, I mean, the greatest way, of course, to overcome shame is to bring whatever it is into the light, right? To just be honest about who you are and just kind of reveal your cards. That must have been a very difficult, messy, long process.
It was excruciating. I mean, it began with his push to me to openly confess what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I felt I was risking everything that I wanted. My marriage, my job, my relationships. I knew that doing that was in the world's eyes, risking everything. But the truth of what happened is that as soon as I began walking in the direction of Jesus and what he would have me do, that's when he got involved. And believe me, you want him involved.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I began to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do this only because this is what your word says, I began to see him work in my life in crazy, amazing ways. And that also didn't stop the pain. So yes, I had to just gut out some real obedience to come out of that darkness. But in every single step of the way, he was palpably present. I mean, this was an incredible time where this amazing presence of God existed right alongside this terrible pain in my life. But I felt in alignment with his spirit for probably the first time.
I feel like I could talk to you all day about this, but I really want to get to your book. And this story is actually in your book, isn't it? I mean, this is a part of what you write about, I'm sure. But I want to hear, you have this book, people love it. It's the 3 essential practices for building a faith that lasts. The book is called How to Stay Standing. What are those 3 essential practices?
Yeah, the 3 practices really come straight from the words of Jesus. And I always say this to people, like, I want you to want more of him, because he is the one that, he is the foundation. He is the rock under anything in your life that is going to stay standing. And so I take these 3 words of his from something he said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts it into practice, I will show you what he is like. And then he tells a story about a man who built a house on a foundation of rock that stayed standing. And that's where I got the title for the book, How to Stay Standing. And there it is, right in full color. He says, everyone who comes to me, that's the first practice. Here's my word is the second practice, and puts it into practice, actually does what I say. And believe me, those seem simple, but when it comes right down to it, they mean everything. So we dive into what did he mean by come to me? What does he mean, hear my word? What would it look like in my real everyday life to put that word into practice? And so those are the three parts of the book, and they come straight from the word of God. Goodness, what could there be anything better, right?
Amen. Yeah, the book is called How to Stay Standing by Ali Patterson. It's an awesome book. If you're looking for a way to grow spiritually in your life, I want to recommend that you get this book. Ali, thank you so much for spending time with us. We appreciate you.
Oh, my gosh. So great to be with you all. I pray for and love what I see the Lord doing through your ministry, and I will keep doing that.
Thank you, Ali. Appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a part of our Hour of Power family. We're so glad you're worshiping with us today. For over 5 decades, you have enabled us to reach millions of people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Eagle Partnership has been our backbone through it all.
Isaiah 40:31 says, "For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This verse reminds us that God empowers us to lead impactful lives regardless of our circumstances. He constantly lifts us up, sustains us, and faithfully provides for us.
As we enter our 53rd year of ministry, we're committed to expanding around the globe as we embrace new technology, increase our online outreach, and establish operations in hard-to-reach parts of the world. Because our Eagle partners are so precious to us, our team has partnered with skilled artisans to create another Hour of Power exclusive design.
Prayerfully consider becoming an Eagle partner with your monthly gift of $50 or a one-time gift of $600, and we'll send you our brand new 2023 porcelain eagle statue. Created just for Hour of Power, this beautiful hand-painted collectible features a majestic eagle with its wings spread, ready to launch. This eagle keepsake was created to remind you that while you take flight into the world, you always have a home in Jesus. As a Golden Eagle partner, with your gift of $100 a month or a one-time gift of $1,200, we'll send you our brand new 2023 porcelain eagle statue, a wooden base for display, and an eagle throw blanket. Generously sized, this beautiful throw is adorned with the inspirational verse from Isaiah 40:31. Made in the USA, this blanket will keep you warm as you reflect on the Word of God. Call, write, or go online to become an Eagle partner today.
Our faithful Eagle partners have been a constant source of strength for this ministry. When you choose to uphold us with your partnership, it empowers us to build a solid foundation from which big dreams are realized and great heights are achieved for the gospel.
If you've been an Eagle partner in the past, join us again so we can keep Hour of Power alive and thriving in 2023 and beyond. If you've never been an Eagle partner, I encourage you, partner with us today. With your support, we can continue to share Christ's love and hope to millions around the world. Thank you, and remember as always, God loves you, and so do we. Today I want to talk about your life and your relationship with God. You say, "I don't believe in God." Well, He believes in you. You say, I don't know if I believe in all this stuff. Can I tell you, your life right now is being impacted directly by God's will, love, and life for you. And God made a way that we could come boldly before His throne. There's this weird idea that you see in the universe all around us, that in order to make something clean, you have to make something else dirty. You clean your car, it gets covered in dirt. You clean it, you take a beautiful, fresh rag, and you wash off the car, and now the car is clean, and the rag is dirty. You take your dirty rag, and you put it in the washing machine, and now your rag is clean, and the clean water that went in, the water is dirty. And so on the cycle goes in life, that to cleanse something else must become dirty. Today we're talking about the cross. And this is one of those things that's hard for modern ears and minds to grasp. But universally, God is just. And yet He's so full of love that what He did was lay down His own life so that you could become clean. As Paul said, "He who knew no sin became sin so that we could be called the righteousness of God." Wow! And that's what you are. That's what you are. If you trust in the cross. What you can do if you're walking through life, and you think about all the nasty things that have been done to you or that you've done to others, all of that, God can wipe away with a single prayer. And so I ask you to pray that prayer today to invite Christ into your life. I'm one of those I cooked up this idea. I wanted to give altar calls And everybody always does it at the end of the sermon, but I always go much longer than I'm supposed to in every sermon. I know everybody's surprised by that, but I'm a long-winded fellow, you know. So I begin with the invitation, because you're only going to get so many chances in your life to be at peace with God. So I want to invite you now, just right where you are. If you say, just 1% of me believes, won't you give that 1% to God and see what he can do with it and watch him turn your life around? I want to encourage you to do that this morning. So we're going to talk about the wisdom of the cross compared to the wisdom of the world. And before we get there, I want you to get this idea in your heart and in your mind. I want you today to wish for more, not less. I want you to wish for more from life, not less from life. I already can hear you, Pastor Bobby, trust me. I am not wishing for less from life. And let me push back on you. How many of you this last week say, I wish I had less work? I wish I had less stress. I wish I had less problems, fewer problems. I wish I had less debt. I wish I had fewer bills. I wish I had fewer bad days, bad experiences, bad toxic relationships, bad meals. And the thing is that life, a good life, is full of bad experiences. You cannot live an awesome life without having awful experiences. The two go hand in hand. And so what God calls us to do is not to wish for less, but to wish for more. Not to wish for less, but to wish for more. I first heard this bit of wisdom from my grandfather, Dr. Schuller, who I'm sure heard it from Jim Rohn, who I'm sure heard it from Earl Schoaf, who I'm sure heard it from JFK, who probably heard it from one of his dad's mobster friends, who probably heard it from Seneca. And it goes something like this: don't wish life was easier, wish you were better. Here's a better way to say it. Don't ask for fewer obstacles, ask for more wisdom. In most cases, the gap between where you are in life and where you want to be, from the things as simple as being healthy to the big things as having a meaningful life, the gap between you and that is wisdom. It is the commitment and devotion to pray the prayers, have the friends, read the books, listen to the sermons, to commit your life to learning the good stuff that's already been made available to you. If you can watch this sermon on television or online, all the other stuff is also available to you. Here's a good first principle in finding wisdom. The old stuff is the best stuff. And the older I get, the more I realize that. And the more I have to deal with people in their 20s when I used to know everything, you know. No. Think about this for just a moment. We have 6,000 to 7,000 years of recorded history. And in that time, our biological ancestors faced everything we've already faced and more. Think about what most people up until like maybe the 1950s had to face in human history. Most of the experience were full of all sorts of trauma. Raiders, war, pestilence, plague, the Black Death happened twice in Europe. All of the incredible things that they had to go through and face. And we are the results of those amazing women and men who endured those times to get you here now. You are the posterity of those who made it through 1,000 winters, 1,000 wars, and 1,000 plagues. You are the result of the ones who made it through. And those who got through unto victory left unto us tomes, pages, books, and records of how to get through things like that. There is nothing, almost nothing, some of us have been through that someone else has not been through before. It doesn't make it less painful. Doesn't make it less horrible or traumatic. But there is wisdom available to you on how to get through that. Remember, new wisdom should always be questioned. There is new wisdom, and there's new things that happen all the time. There is new wisdom, but old wisdom's the best stuff. Old wisdom's the best stuff. Science is amazing. I'm grateful for science. Science makes so much of this possible. The fact that I can talk through speakers, and we're in an air-conditioned room, and I'm on television, on the internet, and we're able to, in the small church, able to broadcast a church service to millions of people around the world is amazing. It's a gift from God. But never forget this. Science can't give you wisdom. Science gives you knowledge, which is also a huge gift and something we should all seek. Science gives you knowledge, but science cannot give you wisdom. Wisdom comes from experience. And we can learn that from our ancestors. Now, the best wisdom is the old wisdom, and the best and oldest wisdom there is the Word of God. The Word of God existed before human history was around, and the Word of God will endure longer than every nation, every flag, every language, every culture. God's Word will endure. Until the universe expands and evaporates into a fine mist, even then the word of the Lord will endure forever and ever. What an amazing gift it is that we can have a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we ought to just treasure this thing, this library. You think about the people that would have given so much to get one page of this thing. We can read it in, 100 different translations, and it's made available to us. And this is the wisdom of the gospel, the wisdom of the Word of God, and what Paul calls the wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross. Let's read from God's Word, shall we? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased, though the foolishness of what was preached to those who believe." In the world, there really are two wisdoms, huh? There's the wisdom of the cross, and there's the wisdom of this world. And sometimes they blend well, and other times they do not. Whenever the wisdom of the cross is at odds with the wisdom of the world, cling to the cross. It's amazing. Paul is writing here to a church in the city of Corinth, which is a lot like America. It's a city in a golden age, full of wealth and money and culture, good food, and all of the best things someone could wish for. But with that comes the trappings and the thorns of worldly wisdom that draw people to it. And into that world, he says, cling to the cross. Let me give you a good example. There's this viral video on YouTube. And there's this guy, it's from TikTok originally. This guy's going around in some college town, and there's kids partying. And he's going up to random guys and asking them for some worldly wisdom. He wants them to tell him how to get a one-night stand. Hey, what's the best way to get a one-night stand? What's the best way to get a one-night stand? Hey, what's the best way to get a one-night stand? And finally he goes to this very good-looking young college guy who's there with a buddy of his. And he goes, hey, what's the best way to get a one-night stand? And the guy looks at him and he says, repent and believe the gospel. You don't need a one-night stand, you need Jesus. And it was one of the manliest things I've heard in a long time. Now, that ought to encourage you when you hear something like that. Because one bit of wisdom is, hey, how do I get a one-night stand? Another bit is, hey, I don't need another one-night stand. I don't need another romantic affair. I need Jesus. I need the gospel. I need the cross. When that's at the heart of you, then your romantic relationships and your friendships and your food and everything else you do, they're blessed. Without that, it's lost. The wisdom of the cross is this. The cross makes the powerful weak, and it makes the weak powerful. For about 5 minutes, I'm going to speak in riddles, okay? But lean in. Listen to what the Lord has to say for you. The cross makes the weak powerful and the powerful weak. The cross calls on to all of us who are in need of God. And who needs God today? Some of us or all of us? All of us. And how much of God do we need? A little bit or all of him? All of him. And that is the beginning of real wisdom and real growth in life. You make all the money in the world and have all the men or women in the world or have all the houses or all the experiences, all the travel in the world, but you don't have that. You get to the end with regret. Here's wisdom, the cross. Who calls to the cross? The sick do. The sinners do. The lost do. The confused do. The humble do. The lonely do. And the thing is, as a pastor, I realize this, that all of us are all of those things. And when you look in the mirror and you say, I've got troubles, I got sickness, I got problems, I got sin, I got challenges, I got burdens, I need Jesus, you are 1,000 steps ahead of the smartest guy ever who says, I don't need any of that stuff. That's the power of the cross. The power of the cross is the beginning of real wisdom, real growth, and the life you really want. That's the power. Because it's a totally fresh beginning. It's a very awful and awesome message. Here's how it's awful. My sin was bad enough to deserve death. That's awful. Here's where it's awesome. God didn't ask me to die. He gave his own life for me. Why? Because he loves you that much. Oh, how vast and wide and deep is the love of God for you, that you could become like Jesus. Totally free. And so the cross allows us to come before life and before God with an empty cup, not a full cup, and to say, Lord, whatever you want from my life, it's yours. And I'll show you how this changes everything, and it really does. Here's the wisdom of a crucified life. When you trust in Jesus, your past and everything, all of it, it dies on the cross with Christ. But when you also trust him, you're raised into eternal life, and this is what it looks like. Number one, most importantly, let me just give you a brief Easter message. You don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of death. The world now, as it becomes more affluent and materialistic, is obsessing over their eventual end, the death, right? And you'll hear people say this all the time, the way that it's all blah, 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 blah. But you don't have to fear that. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you get new eyes, a new heart, new vision to know, I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to live in God's kingdom forever. And so that allows me to not worry about getting my spiritual report card perfect. I don't have to have the right words to say when I die. But simply I can just say, I'm going to get rid of the rotten fruits that come from obsessing over my own death. I'm going to stop trying to do whatever that obsession does, and instead I'm going to ask this question, how can I become all that God created me to be in the service, especially in the service of others? So for me, how can I become the pastor my church needs? How can I become the friend my friends need? How can I become the giver of hope that strangers need when I meet them? How can I help people when I see them in need? How can I be the husband my wife needs, the father my kids need? How can I be the citizen my country needs? These are good questions to ask. And the gap between you and that is wisdom. When you cling to the cross, when you have a crucified life, you now have an empty cup. It's easy to just say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's easy to say, I have a really dumb question. Excuse me, I have a really dumb question. I'm, by the way, a master asking dumb questions. Get in a classroom with me. I'll do it. You'll hear it. How do I seek? Et cetera, et cetera. And so so the Bible says that a wise man loves correction, but a fool hates correction. Maybe you say to me, I feel like I'm pretty wise. I got a lot of experience. Can I ask you a question? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you enjoy when someone corrects you? I got this great test for your wisdom level. Okay, here it is. And you say, I'm probably a 7. Okay, now ask your spouse, honey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think I appreciate correction? Your number might go down a little bit, huh? You all are thinking about your spouse asking you, aren't you? You're not thinking about asking them. No, that's okay. And so what I'm asking you to do is a crucified life is one that crucifies the ego the image, the mask, and it simply says, I am going to seek wisdom. I'm going to come to the realization that my life gets better when I get better. Life doesn't get better when other things around me change. Life gets better when I get better. So get wisdom, kill your ego. Here's an amazing thought. There is no limit to how good you can be. Isn't that interesting? There's no limit to how good your life can be. There's no limit to how good of a parent, a grandparent, or an aunt, or uncle, or a friend. There's no limit to how awesome you can be at that. There's no limit to how happy you can be. There's no limit to how much spiritual power you can have in your life. There's no limit to how awesome you can be at your job. Or all the other many things that we want to be good at. There's no limit to how good you can be at those things. The difference between you and that is one word. You probably know what I'm going to say. It starts with a W. Look, it's wisdom. You grow. You grow in the hidden places. You grow in the places that you can't post on Instagram. Grow in the places that you can't brag about. Grow in the places that only you and the Lord knows about. Grow in those places. And take the time you need. And down the road, you'll be glad you did. It's like there's a type of bamboo. It's amazing. As it germinates, it takes 5 years for the bamboo roots to grow underground. They spread and they go in every direction. Little bulbs start forming and you see nothing. For 5 years, you can see nothing. And meanwhile, bamboo is spreading, going deep, going wide, spreading, spreading. And in all of a sudden, after 5 years of just growing those roots, in 6 weeks, that bamboo goes from 0 to 90 feet into the sky. That's an amazing image, isn't it? That's really how life is. It's not a nice, even, it's not like that. It's build, 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 build. Life is hard. I don't care building. Build, 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 tip. Build, 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 pop. That's how it is. We learned this lesson from Malcolm Gladwell, who's a famous, really great author. He wrote a book that made him famous called The Tipping Point. He uses a different image. He says that in organizations, in movements, political movements, in business, and whatever, in religion, and life, that you see this pattern over and over, that something builds, 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 builds in this like ethereal, invisible space. And then it doesn't just ease, it pops, it tips, he says. He uses an image of a glass of water. Professor in probably a physics class puts a glass of water to teach. What is this called again? Surface tension. Is that right, physicists? Any guy? Yeah. Surface tension. Again, all the PhDs in the choir. And how many of you have a PhD, by the way? Just curious. Just raise your hand. That's pretty good. 3. All right. Some one guys. I'm working on it. I have a $60 honorary doctorate in piracy given to me by my brother-in-law. That's real. So you can call me Dr. Bobby, but you have to say R. Anyway, okay. Glass of water. So you'd think the way water is, glass of water, as soon as it gets to the surface, it starts to just kind of seep over the edge, but that's not what happens. This professor begins to drop drops of water in the glass, and a dome begins to form on the top of the glass of water, surface tension. And eventually, that drop makes it high enough that it doesn't ease over, it goes and spills over the side like a water balloon. And that's how building your life really is. That you're building in wisdom, building in knowledge, you're praying the right kind of prayers, you're memorizing the right kind of verses, you're becoming the kind of person, you're reading the books, you're doing what it takes, you're doing what nobody else is doing to become who you need to be, because you know that life gets better when you get better. And you stop asking for everything outside of you to change, and you say, today, I choose to change. And no, nobody will see it. It might take 5 years. But in 5 years, something will tip, and that thing will go into the sky. It's like freezing water. You take a tray of room temperature water, you put it in the freezer at 72 degrees, and then it goes 71, 70, 69, 68, and so on. It gets all the way to 33, and still nothing has changed. One more degree, 32, and turns rock hard. Isn't that interesting? That's how it is, building your life from the inside out. That's how things are in the kingdom of God. And that's why the wisdom of the world is so toxic. It doesn't look at degrees 72 to 33. It only looks at 32. Or even worse, it looks at like regular rocks that are spray painted to look like ice. That's a better analogy. You know, it's all fake. So don't be deceived by that. And when you begin to learn that the gap between who I am and who I want to be is knowledge and wisdom and a crucified life and a commitment to discipleship, when you really not only believe it in your heart, but you start taking real steps to become all that you were called to be rather than just part of what you were called to be, and you begin to experience progress, you begin to taste and see that it's really true, your perspective in life begins to change. Because all of us are desperate for progress. So much of the progress that we've experienced in life is from outside, from parents or a job. But this is a kind of process that you can control. No one can stop you from becoming this kind of person. And then when that happens, and I'll just tell you from experience, you just get a fresh view of even the bad things that happen in life. Because you just feel like these big setbacks are not enough still to keep you from who you're called to be. A man in a wheelchair is asked, "How does it feel to be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of your life?" He says, "Confined by it? I'm not confined by a wheelchair. A wheelchair brings me liberation. Without this wheelchair, I would be stuck in bed at home all day, but instead I get to go around and do all the things I do." Maybe you need to substitute wheelchair for cane or walker. You have contempt for it. But not this man, right? He says, "It brings me liberation." A man who's growing in wisdom and life loses his job. "How does it feel to lose your job, to get fired?" He says, "I'm finally free to do the thing I was called to do, to start my business, to get a better job. I finally see where I was falling short. I finally have the skills to become who I'm called to be." See, it's a different perspective when you're working on you. Some of you, if you continue to grow in your skills and development, weirdly, you just might get fired. And then you just go take your old boss's business. It's a pro tip. There you go. I just saw a story about a man who had his arm bitten off by a shark. That's a horrible story. Living here in California, had his arm bitten off by a shark. And about a year later, somebody was interviewing him and said, "What was it like getting your arm bit off by a shark? You're never going to have your arm again." And he said, "I know this sounds crazy. It was a gift. I was sleepwalking through life. And you know, when you get attacked by a shark, you don't think you're going to just lose your arm. You think you're going to lose everything. I didn't lose everything. I got off easy." There's lots of people who have been attacked by a shark and lost a lot more than an arm. They lost everything. But it gave me a second lease of life. It gave me a fresh perspective. And this is how life can be for those of us who know that it gets better when you get better. It doesn't get better when you get a better spouse. It gets better when you become a better spouse. It doesn't get better when you get a better job. It gets better when you become a better boss or employee. It doesn't get better when politics go the direction you want it to go, when your work, when your school, when your church, when they go the way you want it to go. It gets better when you go the way you want to go. When you have the path laid out before you, when you have a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path to show you where to go, and you have direction, and you realize that the path doesn't begin out there. It begins in here and in here. That's when it all changes. It changes when you stop asking for life to be easier and you start asking God to make you stronger. It changes when you stop asking for the struggle to go away and asking for God to give you the kind of skills you need to get through those struggles. Life changes when you stop wishing that it had fewer obstacles and start wishing that you had more wisdom. And the more you pray for that and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, the more you cling to the cross and just decide, "I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to keep working on me one day at a time." It all changes everything. Put it to the test. prove to me that it's true. You'll see.
It's been true in my life, and I know it will be for yours as well.
So, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you didn't just call us to be saved. You called us to be disciples. You called us to learn. We want to learn, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we are deciding today not to be less than we can be, but to be all that we can be. We pray that you'd give us wisdom and give us the kind of people, books, and prayers that help us grow. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen.
The preceding program was made possible in part by the ministry partners of the Hour of Power and viewers like you, and is accredited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability.